the storms last week, three boys were going home from work at Butterball, and they hydroplaned into a truck and killed every boy in the car. Three young boys, and I don't know, between 20 and 30, but the kids we went to get rent, all, well, hopefully they're with Jesus, but one of the kids that I went and picked up rent from, they were going to the funeral. It's the only way that I know about it, but there's three brokenhearted families in Ozark today. So first of all, I'm going to pray for Mr. Reeder's daughter. Lord, I pray for Mayor Reeder's daughter, Lord, this young baby, 21 years old, Lord. She didn't mean to do that, Lord. First of all, I cover her mind with the blood of Jesus, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to her heart, to her mind, Lord, that this wasn't her fault, Lord. And, Lord, that you would give her peace, Lord, and that you would give her rest, Lord. And for the families that suffered loss in this tragic accident, Lord, that you would give them peace and forgiveness and rest, Lord. And, Father, I pray for those three boys in Ozark's family also, Lord, and their friends and their coworkers, Lord. One guy that I know personally that works over there with them, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over all of these people, Lord, that have suffered loss. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you're moving in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to do something, you know, because my little brother Coco, he always prays for me. And a couple months ago, there was no house sales, and I had him pray for me. And, you know, the next thing I know, some lawyer that's a friend of Brother Angelo's and a friend of mine bought like four houses. So I'm going to have him come up here and pray for me. Because, you know, the Bible says if you humble yourself as a little child, that's how you meet God. That's how the perfect will of God comes. And I don't know no other kid that can pray like Coco. I've had a lot of people pray, but when Coco prayed, Brother Sam sold some houses. And I don't want houses. I just want God to bless this message, Coco. But you know what? You're a man of God. You're a young man of God. You're a mighty man of God. When you pray, people's hearts get touched. They think about that prayer all week. I've been thinking about that prayer. When the house sales started coming in, my eyes went like this, and I said, Coco's prayer. I'm going to have to give that kid another love offering. When I close this house this week, another love offering's coming to you next week, Coco. But you just pray for Brother Sam in this message, and you pray for whatever's on your heart, okay?
Amen.
He said, sell as many houses or more. One time Coco said, I think I got two microphones now. One time Coco said, make Sam sell all the houses all across America. I said, that is a good prayer, Coco. Now, my first verse is in Ephesians 3:20. I always call it Charles. I call him Chucky. He'll be driving by at work, and he'll stack these groceries, and I'll be screaming, hey, Chucky, baby. Hey, Chucky, baby. And he'll look at me. Then I tell him how good of an order filler I was when I was his age. And, of course, I've never order filled. God bless me with that nice, easy job, or I would have been out of there a long time ago. But now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, there's people in here going through some stuff. You know, I'm going through some stuff, man. I got pains in my body I don't ever tell nobody about, you know, but I tell God about it, you know. This is one of my favorite verses. It's on a shirt. When I first got married with Cindy, I had all of these like this, and what about this, what about that? And she'd say, oh, God's got that, God's got that. And I had my shirt on this morning, and it's God's got this, God's got this. And it's got Ephesians 3:20 on the back. God is able. And then it's got Paris Christian Center on the side arm. And, you know, Cindy was telling me that before we got married. You know, God's got it. Whatever it was, God's got it. And God has always had us. But, you know, I love that saying so much, I made a T-shirt of it, and I told everybody I made that saying up until she told everybody it was her saying and that I was lying, you know. But God's got you guys. God knows Melissa's address. God knows Brenda Babe's address. And you know what? The Bible says in Psalms 138, verse 8, the Lord shall perfect everything that concerns you. See, God's got Evan's address. God knows Evan started a little business. Now, I'm going to let Evan clean my car the next time. I paid my stepdaughter $100 to clean my car, and 2 weeks later she said, your car's a pigsty already. I said, yeah, that's why I don't call you to clean it too often, you know, once a year, because it's going to get messy again because you're running around doing business. I don't know. She found some food and some rotten bananas or something under. I was wondering what that smell was, man, but she earned her $100. Let me put it this way. I was only going to give her 50, and I said, well, she's got to clean some rotten stuff out under the seat. I better double up on that paycheck. But, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. The word abundantly in the Greek is perison, P-E-R-R-I-S-O-N. And it just means exceedingly very high. It means the best. It means abundant. It don't mean like where you're going to run out. If God buys you a bag of groceries, those bags are going to keep overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. You know, if God gets you a car, he's not going to get you a car that's going to break down next week. He's going to get you a car that's going to keep on running and keep on running and keep on running. But, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. If your car ain't there yet, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I have a car. Brother Angelo helped me get it a bunch of years ago. It's got 130,000 miles on it. And for the first time, every time I get a car about 10 years, I'm thinking, I better trade this baby in while it's still, you know, got about 10 grand on the trade-in value. But, you know, in my life, I've been hearing this a lot from people. Well, you're going to retire. What are you going to do when you retire? This and that. I don't think about retiring. I think about doing whatever God wants me to do every day. And now I've thought about changing jobs for the last 30 years. Paul, you said that to Brother Angelo, some of that gray hair over there. I'm going to work for one of them plants that went to Mexico. I'm going to work for Ream. I can't take this Walmart no more. And Ream, it ain't even there no more. You know, and every time I wanted to quit a job, Brother Angelo says, well, these places you're going to work's an hour away. That's an hour that way, an hour back. And I go, well, I better stay there another 6 months, man. This, I better think this out. But now, in a few months, I've been there 30 years at Walmart. 30 years. There are two reasons, because I had a man of God in my life that said, hey, don't be stupid. Don't quit the main job that you got. And to make sure God's telling you to quit that job. But God, when I started that job out, they gave me a shirt for 90 days, 90-day associate. And I was going around to bosses saying, man, I've never had a job for more than 90 days. I need a picture of this shirt to send my friends back in Chicago. And now it's 30 years. See, I was just hoping for a job just to pay some bills and to get by, and I didn't know how long it would be. I was hoping I'd be there long enough to get an unemployment check. But my mind was not renewed. See, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or even think, according to his power that works inside of you. But how much of his power are you going to allow to work inside of you? When are you going to kill the stinking thinking in your brain? Because the worst thing that can keep God from working inside of you are the Holy Spirit. Is you to think you know more than God. Anybody ever thought they know more than God? And Angel, man, a few weeks ago told me that I have any gigs for her. I told her you should put in an ad in the Paris paper, but better than that, you should talk to the living God when you're putting your offering in or your tithes in. God, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Because this verse right here is on every tithe check and every offering check I write. Ephesians 3:20 and Proverbs 3:9 and 10. And I didn't get that from myself. I got that from Brother Angelo. And he didn't get it from one of the TV preachers. He got it from God. But I want, when I give my tithes and offerings, I want God to do exceedingly abundantly above all this church could ask or think, according to the power of God that's working in this church. And then in any return, because the tithe is already God's, any offering over, I want overflow. Does anybody else want overflow in your life? So now I'm going to go to John 10:10. This is a very, very quoted verse. And you can put it up there in case somebody doesn't know it. But John 10:10 says, the thief, is that me? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not the best part of the verse, but you need to know that. That the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am. come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So don't be a dummy and not think that the devil's not trying to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. Most of the time, he tries to steal, kill, and destroy in our life through family members that don't know Jesus, through one car. You know, all them cars, and there's one car that the people are a jerk. But he tries to steal through people. But Jesus said, he's just warning you that the devil's going to come, but he says, I am. Moses was going to Pharaoh, and Moses said, I can't go to Pharaoh. Who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? And you know what? You tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. I don't know if any of y'all know what I am means, but I am means if the problem is, does it even exist on the planet Earth with your kids, with court cases, with custody, adoption? If they don't, there's not an answer that exists on Earth. The great I am can make it. He can create it. And better yet, that according to that power that's inside you, what God tells you to do, what God shows you to do, you're actually doing God a favor when you just listen to him and allow God to do great things through you. Amen? Now, it don't say the devil just comes on Sunday morning. The devil's always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know, God is always looking to bless you. Who wants to be blessed in here? In Luke 10, and I'm going to start reading at 18 and 19. I've had some requests for short and sweet, but nobody had a sandwich with some bologna and cheese on it. So, you know, I don't look at it, see, there you go. I know, get me a sandwich in that deal. In Luke 10, verse 17, 18, and 19, I'm going to go there too. You know, it says in 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You should know that if you're a born-again believer and a born-again Christian and the Holy Ghost is in you, you have more power over the devil. Jesus said, all power and all authority is given unto me, and I give it to you. So now the Bible don't tell us that the devil's not going to come to steal, kill, and destroy, but it tells us that he gives us authority over the devil. He gives us power. But this is a place where, in verse 18, Jesus said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I got a guy that tells me, oh, Satan fell like lightning from heaven, and he's here, and he's doing this thing. No, God's trying to tell you that I kicked the devil around, and I threw him out of heaven, and yeah, he's here. But Jesus said, all power and all authority is given unto me, and I give it back to you. Man, take authority over the devil. Sometimes when the storms come, you see a little video with me taking authority that we don't want no tornadoes blowing our house down. You know, we don't want no lack in our finances. We don't want no air conditioning breakdown. I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife every day. God, no accidents, no mishaps, no breakdowns. Take care of my wife at work. Cause all the workers to be there so she doesn't have a miserable day. But, you know, God has given us authority, and it's up to us to take that authority. Now, some of us might not know that, but if there's lack in your life, God, here's how I started. I had this one job one time that was paying me so much money, and I was sitting right back there where Sissy's in the back staying warm. And I sat back there, and I said, God, I already know you're real. But, you know, if you're real, can you get me a job watching TV? And, you know, I was being funny, but I was serious because I wanted to make some money watching TV. Next thing I know, Jeff Miller hires me, puts me in a store over there in Clarksville, and for 8 hours a day I was getting paid watching TV. Now, I had to try to sell a TV once in a while when a customer came in, but I thought that was the coolest thing. And then, like, a few years later, I was sitting over there, and I said, you know, God, I really like the job watching TV, but could you give me a job where I'm getting paid to sleep? And next thing I know, I'm met a lady named Mrs. Forrest, and I was cleaning her yard and doing side jobs, and she said, I need somebody to stay with me, Sam. And the next thing I know, she was paying me to stay there 3 days, three nights a week, Friday night, Saturday night, and Monday. And on Monday, she gave me a little stack of cash and said, thank you. And, you know, I got to thinking, like, maybe I should just take God seriously. Because if you want a job sleeping, and if you want a business taking care of clients and people, making your own money, making your own price, Angel, because you're not a second-class citizen of the living God. You're a born-again child of the Most High God. You have the Holy Ghost in you. Everything might not be perfect up here. I'm 30 years into Christ, and everything's still not perfect up here. But God has given me authority over the devil. The devil doesn't got the right to come and steal, kill, and destroy in my life. And I'm telling you, he don't have the right to steal, kill, and destroy in your life either. Amen? Sometimes we'll go through some stuff. And here in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents. Ah, Frankie, what a good story to lead up about treading on serpents. Now, Frankie could have said, oh, be gone in the name of Jesus, and ran in the house. But that serpent would have been out there somewhere. Frankie went and got something and tread on the serpent. But God, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? Amen. You know, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. You know, don't let somebody get in front of you and start talking their jive. I would use a word, but, you know, jive is a good word for it. The other word's sort of tacky. Don't let somebody get in there telling you there's many ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through saying, Father, forgive me for my sins. And, you know, I'd like to tell you that 30-something years ago when I first got born again and the Holy Ghost came into me, I never sinned again. But like Brother Angelo says, some of my best sinning was after I became a Christian. Now, I kept looking for God to kill me, and then I'd get in there and tremble and pray and say, forgive me. And God never killed me. He just said, get it better, Sam. But now, you know, it wasn't like when I was in the world, you know, and a long time ago I fell off a roof and I was about 16 and I'd sneak out of my house downstairs and I went up on top of Congress Theater to smoke some weed with these guys, and Sammy never made it to the top. Sammy was walking through a black pipe and fell three stories down and landed on a mattress, and when I woke up, I was on an episode of Rescue. The fire department was hoisting me up, and one of the fire department guys said, did you go to Mass today? I was still coming out of it, and I remember seeing an angel. And the angel was so bright and yellow-headed and glowing, and he said, God has given you one more chance because your mother was praying for you. And, you know, I went to church, and I thanked God, and I don't think I ever became born again, but I stood up in church and thanked God for another chance and for that one more chance. But every time somebody pulled a gun, I got behind three people because I remember one more chance to me means one more chance. But God did not kill me until I got saved. Now, God is the God of a million chances, but if you can get some things right in your life, he'll bless you. And I used to think that if I messed up, God was going to take his blessings away. And all you got to do is say, God, help me get this right. God wants to bless you. Short and sweet's coming. See these two pages? They're blank. That was the real short and sweet message. It would have been longer because I'd have been going with the ghost. But this represents your life. God's writing a story in your life. You want your pool fixed? God's got you. You want this thing with the kids fixed? God's got you. Evan wants to start a business? God's got you. More finances? More favor? God's got you. I noticed Sissy back there. Every time she wins in the dance contest, she wins. Why wouldn't she win? She's a child of the living God. Why wouldn't she be number one? She's putting her heart to. And if you really want to go further in life, you'll put God first and you'll do your ministry, and everything that your hands touch will turn to gold. But, you know, sometimes you're going to have to pray. I notice in my life, but I'm going back to this one story, not Frank's story about the serpent, but that did fit in. The one story I said about Mrs. Force, every time that looked like it was going to dry up, that money, I would pray and say, God, I don't think I want this to dry up. I really need that money. And another avenue would open up. And then, like, another avenue would open up that my mother worked for and stuff. And it opened up for years. But there come a point where it was going to close down. And Brother Angelo, now, the first time Brother Angelo went over there to pray for her, he goes, Sam, I believe that God wants to bless you through this lady. There's some money. There came a time where he said, I believe, you know, God wants to bless you with, like, a $10,000 check. And at the end of that ordeal, God had me write a little contract up with her that I would take care of her no matter what if she went to the nursing home. And, you know, she gave me an advance to do that. Now, her family, they told me they didn't want to take care of her. They told me they didn't care if I took care of her. They told me that they wasn't going to mess with her no more. But now, after the end of my few years of messing with her, they didn't like it that I messed with her because she was paying me to mess with her. But she gave me that $10,000. Now, and it was all legal. It's nothing. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or even think, according to his power that works inside you. How much of his power do you want to work inside? You know, you can have an $11.65 minimum wage job, 40 hours a week. I'm not judging you. That's your thing. You could be disabled, but God still wants to bless you more. And I don't mean by, like, going and getting a job. I mean God has all the resources in heaven. And it'd be sad that if you struggle by 40, 50, 60 years in this life, and then you go to heaven, and God opens his door in this warehouse, and you're looking for a little corner of stuff you messed, and he says, no, this whole warehouse was yours. You never asked me for it. You ever heard that verse? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For whoever asks gets it. Whoever knocks, the door is open. Whoever seeks, they'll find it. I'm thinking the only verse I want to really read right now, because we'll keep this short and sweet. You know, Sammy's never been against short and sweet. Pastor Kelly taught me that when she was a little kid. Brother Sam, short and sweet. Dairy Delight's waiting. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. I like to say, by his stripes I am healed. See, because we're in the kingdom of God. We're of the born-again nature that Jesus was when he walked on the face of the earth, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, over in my next verse, which I may use another time, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I don't know who says, well, Jesus healed back in them days. Well, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I think that means Jesus Christ will heal whoever will call on his name and believe for it. Well, some people don't get saved. Some people got to have faith to get saved. You got to have faith to get that. According to the Bible, by his stripes, I was already healed. All I need to do is believe the word of God and act on it. Now, there's some people that don't want to believe it, but heck, Sister Billy's had some obstacles in her short Christian walk here. She's sitting here by the glory of God, come out of the hospital once or twice. Man, you know what? We're going to go through some things. But, you know, as long as you stand on the word of God, you can't lose. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you're afraid, if something comes against you and you're afraid, that's the lying devil coming to steal, kill, and destroy. You've got to know this Bible verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I used to say I got 2 out of 3, and I thought that was funny when I was a dummy, when I was a new Christian, but I got all three. I got the sound mind, I got the no fear, and I got love. The only last verse that I can go to, because somebody was bragging on the past, and they said, well, them people couldn't help themselves. They just had to do that. They just had to live that way. They didn't know nothing about God. All I know is ever since I've been a little kid, there's been a Bible in every motel room I've ever been in. There's been a Bible in churches that I went to. There's been a Bible in my house when we weren't living for God, in my mom's house when I was a little kid. I had the choice to read this Bible. I didn't really understand a lot, but I read it two or three times. After I got saved, I read it two or three times, and the words jumped off, and it became alive. Because, see, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing between the bones and the marrow, and it's a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God wants to do a little surgery on you and implant more of that Word. For I hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Now, I'm reading this at Paris Christian Center today, but God's been saying this to the whole earth ever since this Bible was wrote, back in Jesus' day when the disciples were writing this word. King James did his thing, and whoever does all the other copies, and I love all those other copies, the modern translations me and Frankie were talking about earlier, says, I call heaven and earth to record. Heaven and earth, they're recording something today on your life. Remember I showed you the two empty pages? You're somewhere with God right now, tonight. And you may not want to be in that place that you're with God right now, but he's wanting you to write your own story. Nurse Bibi started writing her own story one day when she called and didn't want to be a druggie no more and didn't want to be like that, and had me and Brother Angelo and her mom put some money in to send her to the hospital and get pumped out of all the junk that was in her. Nurse Bibi started writing her own story that very day. Now, none of us knew, you know, because when I got saved, Brother Robertson said, I sure hope he makes it. You know, Brother Robertson, so did I. But BB's made it. She started writing her own story. Now, I don't know where you're at, but God wants you to write your own story. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, not just for you. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. You know, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Once again, I don't know where everybody's at, but just like Coco came up here and prayed, my example with Coco is I believe in Brother Coco's prayers. Now, I know I sold a house or two there when he first started praying. That $10 bill, you know, I upped that to a 20, and I thought, I better give this kid a little more, man. I started selling two or three. But I humbled myself as a little child in front of you and ask you guys to humble yourself, because with everything happening in Israel, and the president of Israel just said he didn't care if the whole world was against him. He was going to do what he had to do to protect Israel. And so when most of the, not most of the country, I believe 80% of the country is just like people like us. But all they put on the news is that other 20% of idiots. But be ready to meet Jesus Christ. And whatever you want to write on your story, you just got to talk to God. And I'm just going to ask you, man, is there something you want God to do for your life right now? And I can turn this over to you. I'm going to ask you if you want to come up and get prayer for your business, if you want to get prayer for your finances, and we can do it this way because this is the sweetest way. If anything in this message has touched your heart and you want God to do more in your life and you want to be more in your life than you have been, and if you need, I mean, in a couple of weeks, we're going to pray for the finances, but this prayer, if you're asking God for more, even in finances, because at work, they put the slow stuff on us and days off. I've just learned to go with the flow, because God hasn't got money for me over there. He's got money somewhere else for me. And I thank God for that. Does anybody need God to do something in their life right now? Heaven's coming up. And I'm up here for prayer, too. Touch the pastor right there. Touch your dad. Come on, let's all get in a circle. Get Melissa in